Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, and I was flipping through YouTube, and I've decided that I'm not gonna go with a certain platform that has changed how they're charging for things, because, I don't know, it's just ridiculous. Say, Netflix, basically, I have an account that I share with somebody else, and we pay the extra to have both of our accounts on it. And now Netflix is mixed up something in the process, even though we've been paying extra, like, since they started this whole "we're not going to share passwords, da 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 da, you know, we need to make more money" fiasco. Which I understand, because more, you know, it's been a joke for years that people haven't been paying for their Netflixes. They've been using other people's. But one of the things that they did to try and stop that was, you know, if one person was on, the other person couldn't use it at the same time. And I guess that's caused problems. I know that the person that I've shared it with shared their password with a friend, and then that friend's whole family started using our Netflix. So when we would get on, we couldn't get on. Anyway, so I've decided to stop using the platform because with this last new change, I've gotten on and I have tried to it keeps saying that I can't get on because I'm in a different household, even though we've been paying extra the whole time. And I've called them twice, and twice they have refused to fix the error, saying that we haven't been paying extra when we have been paying extra. So some sort of mix-up has happened, and I just told the person who shared it with me, forget about it, stop paying for me, and because I pay them, and then they pay on the account. And I said, just forget about it. You know, I'm not going to have Netflix anymore, because that ticks me off that we've been doing it and they don't even have the foresight to know that we've been doing it the whole time. And we're talking years that this has been happening. So I got on YouTube and started looking through stuff on YouTube. I was like, yeah, you know, let me see what I can find on here to watch. Because, you know, they have free movies and then all kinds of things you can watch. And as I'm looking through, I trip over the videos about narcissists, and I don't know why this come up, but I think because there are so freaking many of them, and maybe because it's such a proven factor, but I thought it would be a really good subject matter for this venue, since it is about sexuality, it is about relationships, and I watched a few videos that talked about it. I mean, it's psychological proven, you know, it's psychological proven fact. And what I find really crazy is 9 times out of 10, most of our relationships and most of the things that we do with each other as human beings are textbook explained. Like, psychology has figured out most of everything that we're doing and why we do it and how we do it, and then it's just A, B, C, D, right? It's crazy. It's like, you know, the relationships I've been in and the things that have happened, it's been in a textbook somewhere. Like, everything that happened step by step in that relationship with somebody, I read it in a textbook, and I'd be like, ugh. And it's happened more than once. It's happened many, 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 many times over time since they've been studying psychology and putting all this stuff down. And you go, oh my gosh, I'm a textbook. What I just went through is a textbook. That person is a textbook explanation and a psychology textbook. or research book, or whatever you want to call it. So, so I watched a few of these videos, and it's amazing the explanation they have. So, it's talking about the vicious cycle of how a narcissist mama's boy becomes a narcissist mama's boy. So let's lay it out. First thing that happens, and this is why it's such a vicious cycle, is, and this isn't just in the modern world, this has been happening for hundreds, thousands of years. Even when society was saying it was the wrong thing to do and not accepting of it, it would still happen. And this is something that women have had to put up with for eons, right? So when a man, that's an alarm, I think. Anyway, when a man takes advantage of a woman sexually, socially, in order to use that woman, and could be for sex, could be for, social mobility, it could be for work mobility, whatever. Uses a woman, leaves them with a child, and in this case, a male child. This does not happen with female children. This happens, well, I'm not sure. I don't think that, no, they didn't say it happened with female. They said it's usually a male child. Leaves them with a male child alone to raise that male child. And this is the vicious cycle. And then the psychological screw up happens in that time where the mother sort of turns to the son as, because she's having to raise a child alone, and most men will not date or be with women who have a child unless they're a sick pedophile or something. And she's having to raise that child alone. So that male child takes on the replacement of a partner. And then they say she becomes sort of a narcissist mother and starts grooming that child from the very beginning to be her male replacement, to be her partner. Now, we're not talking sexually, although some of these videos say that it goes that far sometimes in the really sick relationships. But, like you watch these movies, and when the father dies, they turn to the young, little kid and say, "You're the man of the house now." Well, that's the psychological screw up thing that they do to boys, right? Telling them that they have to run the household when they have an adult mother who can very well do that herself. But in a misogynistic, patriarchal society, even a little boy is considered more acceptable as the leader of a house than a woman is, right? Because women were considered basically slaves and second-class citizens. Even if there was an inheritance from like a grandfather or whatever, the little boy would get the inheritance, not the woman, because women were not legally considered human beings even. They were just considered, slaves. I mean, let's just be honest. That's really what it was. Women had no rights, and women sometimes in many countries still have no rights and are still considered, like some of the livestock out in the barn. And we wonder why so many women become vegetarians, because they can, relate to the slaves or to the animals that are, slaves, because, when animals are mistreated, they are basically slaves, and you are a slaver. If you tie your dog up outside on a chain and you don't take care of your dog, you're a slaveholder, because you are using that animal in a way that you shouldn't use it. It's slavery, right? Same thing with horses and races that get doped and die, etc. So, back to the subject matter. So the boy is given all of this responsibility. So they take on the responsibility of being that person in their mother's life, their mother confiding in them with adult things that she probably shouldn't be confiding. And I think this is done with men who raise young girls alone as well when the mother dies. But anyway, but there's the mother confides adult matters with her son when they're still children, and then these these boys are expected to grow up and support their mother, and then they feel like they have to do that. They feel like they have to support their mother because their mother is upset, crying, or whatever, stressed out. They feel like they can't save their mother, or they're not doing what they need to do. So they grow up in this screwed up situation with a mother who becomes sort of a narcissist herself, because she's thrown into a situation where she is alone in a society that doesn't pay women enough at their jobs, that doesn't give them enough help to raise a child alone, because you're supposed to be married to a man, because that's how a misogynistic patriarchal society is set up, right? So that men are the ones who benefit for everything, not women. So then women are struggling to raise their children. And so then that son is feeling responsible because they're not old enough to get a job. They're not old enough to take care of their mother. They're not old enough to really do anything to help in the situation. But then they have that responsibility put on their head because of this stupid patriarchal society. I mean, it's such a vicious cycle. So anyway, she psychologically depends on this little boy, and then it becomes a factor that she is wanting this kid to never leave, because now this is the replacement man in her life, and she's holding on to this kid, and as he grows, all of his relationships are affected by that. And because he loves his mother, he shoves down the resentment that he feels that he has been put in this position to be an adult before he's supposed to be responsible about adult situations before he's supposed to be, and then eventually, as he becomes an adult, to end up having to be the adult in the situation and still take care of mommy. Even though mom has pretty much taken care of everything herself along the way, as far as paying the bills, making sure it happens. I mean, if she ends up doing that, you know, working one or two jobs to, you know, just pay the bills and gets her son and daughter, if she has a daughter as well, to adulthood, she's still holding on, still has this son in this position of a replacement spouse, a replacement partner. Let's say that, a replacement partner. And every relationship that this narcissistic, because this is how men become narcissists, this narcissistic man, why is he a narcissistic man? Why is he becomes a narcissist? Because his mother has taken him on as a partner. So now she's treating him as a partner, sans sex, except for sex, if it's not really sick. Because they say it does go that far sometimes. That she, you know, dotes on him, does everything for him, because, you know, she's treating him like a partner, like women have been taught that they are supposed to treat the man in their lives in a misogynistic, patriarchal society. So instead of putting all that into a man that she'd have in her life, she's putting it into her son. So she's still doting on him, and a lot of these boys, most of these boys, in fact all of them, become mama's boys. And then because they love their mothers, and they push that down, the real resentment that they feel, they hide all that. What they do is they go out and they find a relationship with a woman who is a strong, upstanding woman in the community, a woman who has actually grown up to become a strong woman and doesn't need a man, right? Because she is financially taking care of herself, she's a college educated, and even in this still misogynistic, patriarchal world, is taking care of herself, is supporting herself, and doesn't really need to be with a man at all. In fact, she could, you know, just have sex with a guy and have her kids and raise her own children, because that is what's been going on for eons. Men keep leaving women behind with kids, in affairs or mistresses or even their own wives. They figured out ways to, even way, way back hundreds of years ago, men would figure out a way to get rid of their wives. They would say their wives cheated on them. They'd lie, or they'd say their wives did something or weren't giving them sex. So they were able to get out of their marriages and divorce these women and leave them behind and not have any financial responsibility except for raising the children, and then women would be left alone after that, right? And in societies where, it was imperative for women to get married so that their fathers didn't have to support them anymore, so that their husbands would have to support them, women were left financially without anything. They weren't allowed to work because it was illegal for women to work, etc., right? It's just a vicious cycle. This has been happening for hundreds of years. So then it sets them up to rely on the sun to take care of them. And that's why back before child labor laws came into effect, little boys were sent off to do apprenticeships with other families and other men so that they could pay for their mother to be able to survive. And so that's why that kind of stuff happened. All those little apprenticeships, and where they would go off and they'd toil and work and, maybe not go to school and finish their education because they had to take care of their mothers who the father left. And that was the male way of the answer to, well, we've left these women behind, now their sons can take care of them if they have a son. So that's why it was so imperative to have a son rather than to have a daughter. Because a daughter couldn't go out and work and take care of you. And a daughter was a burden until you could get her married off to a man. I mean, oh my gosh. The things that humans do to each other and the way that we've set up society. If it was a matriarchal society, none of that would happen. Because in matriarchal societies, they don't do that to, they don't make women all-encompassing and men not equal. In matriarchal societies, women lead with compassion, and men are not treated like second-class citizens. They are considered, loving human beings. So this is why patriarchal societies should not exist and matriarchal societies should exist, because matriarchal societies don't screw everybody up. Everybody's included, everybody's taken into the fold. In fact, in matriarchal societies, many times they've shown in the past, wars did not happen because negotiations happened. In fact, that's where our democratic systems comes from the Native Americans' matriarchal society and how they governed within all their tribes and all of their systems. The only time that you see vicious fighting is when the patriarchal society of the East, Europeans come over to, screw everything up. Anyway, so let's go back to the subject matter. So here we are, these men have been put into this position. They are adults now. Now they're out looking for strong women because of their deep resentment and hate for their mothers that they won't admit to. Psychological, that's what the psychological textbooks have talked about. And they find the relationship with a strong woman, and their main goal in finding a woman like that, that is the deep hate that they have towards their mother, towards women, is to tear her down, to bring her down from where she's at until they totally destroy her. That is what I've watched. That is the actual textbook thing that happens, and how it explains so many things that are happening in our patriarchal society. With women being abused, domestic violence is really high, women being shot by their partners, stabbed by their partners, killed, strangled to death by their partners, whether married or not, women being left behind with children to raise, and in this, again, patriarchal court system of the United States where men basically have made all the rules and men have made all the laws. Child support is never enough to pay to support, you know, the kids that women are left with. And then they struggle. And then, of course, women are not paid enough still. There is not equality in pay. I mean, you know, and why is there no equality in pay? Because in the patriarchal, male-dominated court system, they're not going to pass laws that give women equal pay. Because then women could survive and not have need for men, right? And men wouldn't be able to have this sick, vicious cycle that they're creating for all society. This happens so often. And then I watched these videos, like I told you, I was tripped over these videos because there's just so many of them. But it makes so much sense, and it is a psychologically proven thing in psychology that this is what's happening in a patriarchal society. And there are men who have gone into, you know, counseling and psychiatrists and things like that who are making these videos as well as women. It's not just women making these videos. This is men who have grown up with that mother who unfortunately was forced into making them into the head of the family, taking care of them, being their psychological sounding board. Oh my gosh. When I watched it, it was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. This explains so much of what happens in our society and why there's so much violence towards women. I mean, basically, it explains the rape culture all encompassing, and doesn't mean that you don't have a choice as a man or a woman not to do these things. But it does kind of explain why these things happen. And again, not that it's not your fault that you didn't do it, but it explains why it happens. And it's almost unavoidable at some points, depending on your, you know, financially social status. You know, if you're growing up in a really poor family, it takes 9 generations for someone to get out of poverty. 9 generations for one person in a family to break out of poverty. We're not even talking the whole family. We're talking, you know, your family versus and uncles and aunts and nephews, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the whole family. Only one person in that family unit breaks out of poverty for every 9 generations. 9 generations. That's, you know, probably 80 to 100 years each generation. So we're talking 700-800 years. One person breaks out of poverty. That's sad. That's sad. And that system is set up to fail for people who are in poverty, or even above, you know, even if you're a little above poverty, it takes 9 generations, et cetera, et cetera. Even if you're middle class, 9 generations to get out of that in order to reach wealth, right? So that's why there's so few people who are wealthy, and the wealthy are the people who are in power, because that's why you see so many wealthy people. You wonder, man, when you become a millionaire, why do you have to make any more money? Well, because once you're a millionaire, it's about power. It's no longer about money. Well, it's about money because you have to make more money in order to get power. But you're not looking at how much money, because, you know, you don't need any more money to survive. But now you need money to become more powerful, because now the goal is power. You're at a level now where being a millionaire billionaire is about how much power you have in the world to control things and make decisions. So now you are using all of your employees and everyone who's below you to make more money so that you can become more powerful. So the vicious cycle never ends. You were using people before that so that you could, you know, financially not have ever have to worry. Now it's about, now I want power. And that's the next level of goals, right? Because people always are trying to attain and be better, right? And that's what our society forces, that you can't just stay a millionaire and be happy and then treat your employees right and, you know, stay where you're at. You got to keep moving up the ladder, or else you're not achieving your goals. You're not, you know, achieving what you need to be in life. I mean, to me, I've had companies, and I was very happy to just be able to pay my employees well, give them all the benefits that they deserved, and never go above that line, right? But there are, you know, our society pushes men to keep going and going and going, pushes women to keep going and going and going until they, you know, you're supposed to keep going after more and more goals. You're supposed to make more money. Okay, now you're at the money power. Now it's power, etc., right? So that vicious cycle causes all of the other things to happen below it, which causes a, you know, men to leave their partners, spouses, whatever, behind with children, and cause this whole, you know, mama's boy, narcissistic, you know, mama's boy, so narcissistic cycle to happen. I mean, it's just crazy. I know so many men. My ex was like this. One of the things that they talked about in the videos was how the relationship between the single mom, or the mom that's been left alone to raise a boy or their children, the relationship between a single mom and a boy and you know, a son, is so intertwined. It's so enmeshed. It's so screwed up that the future partner, the future women in these men's lives, once they're adults and they go out and they find someone and they marry someone, or they're in a relationship with someone, the relationship between the mother and the son is so enmeshed that the women oftentimes feel like they're married to the man who's already married to his mother. He's been married to his mother for years, since he was a child. He's been married to his mother psychologically, because they're so enmeshed, because of course the mother has been forced to make this young boy the man in her life. And now he is an adult man. She isn't going to let him go because she's psychologically and emotionally dependent on him. So she is going to make your life as the new partner, the new female partner, a living hell. And the reason that he chose you in the first place is because you are a strong woman that he wants to destroy, to take out his resentments and anger towards that he has for his mother. Ah! Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just insidious. And so she is, so you feel as if your partner is married to another. I have actually said to an ex, you know, why don't you marry your mother and get it over with? I have actually said that to an ex because they were so enmeshed with their mother. And this was a mother that had, this was a guy whose mom was married to an alcoholic. He was basically an alcoholic who was abusive. He was an abusive alcoholic. And that's another thing that they mention in these videos, is that many times the mother is abused by the male partner, the father. And so the son is having to watch his mother be abused by this guy. And then once the guy finally leaves, you know, he felt responsible to protect his mother and couldn't do it. So then there's guilt from not being able to protect his mother. So for the rest of his life, he feels like he needs to take care of his mother. Oh God, it's so messed up. And I am watching, I see guys now whose fathers walked away when they were younger, and they became the man of the family, and they're so close to their mothers. They take trips with their mothers. They do everything with their mothers. They go on vacations with their mothers. They take their mothers out with them, you know, when they do things on the weekends, etc., etc. It's like really kind of too much enmeshment. And as you don't see this right away. You don't see this right away when you are starting to date someone or trying to get to know someone. It takes time for this kind of stuff to come out, because most of these guys are not going to admit that they take their mothers out on a Saturday evening like a date, right? They're taking them to, it might be a work event, or it might be a bunch of people from work getting together, and they're going to meet with them. It still shouldn't be taking your mother. It should be that you're showing up with a date, right? But no, they show up with their mommy. And then the people that they work with, or even the friends that they have, are talking about it later, and you're standing there going, holy crap, he takes his mother out on a Saturday night, like a date? And this has happened more than once. This has happened many times. Oh my God, who am I dating? What? I didn't take my dad out on dates, and my dad didn't take me out on dates. You know, when you have religious groups or different groups that encourage that, I think that's sick too. You're crossing lines when you do stuff. Those are boundaries, emotional, psychological, and let's say it, sexual boundaries that you should not be crossing. That is sick to make that a normal thing that you do. And then you're listening to how not only is he taking his mother out on dates, but he's going on vacations with her. He's, and she's enmeshed in his finances. You know, she not only is maybe making decisions, but has even crossed over into the line of actually having control of his finances. Like, on the dotted line, legally, she can make decisions. And he can do the same for her. The son can do the same for her. He is, I forget what they call it when you sign off on somebody to let them make medical and financial decisions for you. But it's a legal term, and I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. I'm sure everybody listening probably knows what I'm talking about. You can sign paperwork that gives you, power of attorney. And, instead of giving power of attorney to, like, if something happens to you, you give power of attorney to your spouse. Like, a man would give the power of attorney to his wife, right? If something happens to him, to make medical decisions, to make financial decisions on what he has control of financially, etc. That goes to the mother instead of the spouse. And they talk about this in the videos, how crazy it will make a partner or a spouse, a female partner or spouse, of a mama's boy with a narcissist mama's boy. Because his mother is so enmeshed and so much still controlling his life. I mean, they talk about how she never wants him to leave. So she will do anything she can to keep him there. And that includes becoming financially responsible for his finances, or making financial decisions, and psychologically, keeping him enmeshed that way. She may not even have power of attorney, but somehow she guilts him or makes him feel bad if he doesn't make a decision in her way. And I have seen that in guys that I've dated, long-term dating, where the family steps in on all the finances. In fact, that happened in my marriage, where the family was stepping too much into his life when we had a business. And when we became successful, boy, did they all want a piece of that, right? And so they were, we had the female sister who was 20 years older, because my ex was born 20 years later. Stepping in, trying to force him to make decisions. And she had been married 3 times. She was working on her 3rd marriage. So she was totally enmeshed as well with my ex, and controlling of him, just like his mother was. It was crazy. And I remember saying to him, 50% of the reason I left is that you're not getting help for your addiction, you're abusive, but 50% of the, and you're not getting help for your anger, which he had anger because he had an enmeshed mother who, had an alcoholic husband who abused her, etc. That was the whole cycle, right? And now I'm looking back on this and thinking, man, I really just needed to take psychology when I was in college. I should have just become a psychiatrist because if I had known all this, I could have avoided that relationship altogether. And there are times, there were very wonderful times in our relationship, but it was horrible in the end. It was absolutely horrible in the end. And it almost destroyed me. It almost destroyed me. And it got me to the point where I never wanted to be married again. I even thought about never really being in a serious relationship again because I did not want to become that, and that I didn't want to get into that screwed up of a relationship again. And now I, I've seen little pieces and, of course, been able to realize what happened there. But like I said, 50% of the reason that I told my ex that I left was his family. And basically, it was all of them. It was this insidious, the brother and the sister, but the sister was way too enmeshed with my ex and as well as his mother. But it was like they hated me too for taking him away from them. When really that's what's supposed to happen. He's supposed to leave them, and he tried. I will tell you this much. I will give this much to my ex. He tried. He tried to break away from them. It made him angry the way that they treated me. He tried to stay away. He tried not to be that person, and he wasn't for a really long time. But then eventually, it just happened. It was like he went from being Jekyll and Hyde. He stopped. Not trying, he stopped not trying to be an addictive person. He went back to his addictions. He stopped treating me well. He ended up starting to, exactly how this, these videos I were watching about narcissists that have are mama's boys who have narcissistic mothers. He started, abusing me, emotionally, physically, financially. And we're talking, we had a business, a successful business at this point, right? Maybe something about me helping to run that business and the fact that I pretty much was the one running the business. I was one that made the suggestion that, once he reached this pinnacle in his career, and he wasn't able to get promoted any further. Because he was such a great producer. Sometimes when you work at a job, you produce so well that they don't want to take you out of the producing part. Okay, so like the worker part, like because you're so good at making something, you're so good at selling something, you're so good that they don't want to promote you to the next level because they want to keep you right there because you're making so much money for them because you're so good at being the worker bee, right? You work really hard and you make the product that makes them so much money. So they don't want to make you a foreman or a manager or a boss of everyone because you're so good at being the worker bee. You're so good at producing on the factory line, whatever job that might be, right? That they don't want to promote you. So that was what he had reached. And I told him, I said, that's why you're not getting promoted. You're too good at your job. And you make too much money for them. So why would they promote you up to management and take you off of making the product that is making so much money for them? Because if they take you off and then start letting other people do it who don't work as hard, who aren't as conscientious about making something as well as it could be made, or selling something as well as it could be sold, or whatever the case may be. Then they lose that, it makes it brings it down five levels because they're losing you. So no, you're never going to get promoted. And the only way that you're going to go to the next level, which we talked about this early in this podcast, everyone, even millionaires, want to go to the next level, right? Because that's what we're taught in this society is that we have to keep moving up and we have to keep doing better and we have to reach the next goal or we're not doing, or we're not accomplishing what we're supposed to. We can't just relax that we've reached a million goals already and stay at that station in life. So he didn't want to stay there. He was making good money. He was working a lot of hours though. So the next thing that I suggested was maybe, we should start our own business, because then we would make the money from what you're doing instead of everyone else, right? Because he was good at what he did. And my plan in the whole thing was just to start the business, get it going, hire people to do everything that I would be doing, tap out. Because I didn't think it was a good thing for us to be working together all the time. And the other reason, I wanted to be able to pursue my own career. Once you're set up in your little business and you're happy, because I just wanted to make him happy. I just wanted to stop hearing him complain about how he wasn't getting promoted, or how other people who did less work got promoted into these, management positions, blah, blah, blah. I just, was trying to provide a solution to a problem that would allow him to keep elevating to the next level, right? Because that's what we're taught. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, I ended up running the goddamn business because he didn't want to do the sales. He didn't want to go out and get the jobs that we needed in order to run the business. I had to do all that. And he pretty much from the beginning told me he wasn't going to do it. Now I watch these videos and I realize I was with an enmeshed, narcissistic man who was enmeshed with his narcissistic mother, who behind the scenes was telling him not that, I should do all this, that I should be doing this. I was the one who suggested it. I was the one who, suggested starting the business. So if I wanted it to be done, then I should make it happen. Well, I did. I ended up making it happen. And then everyone around us realized that I was the one doing it. And then the men in his life started teasing him, as many will in a misogynistic, patriarchal society. Who wears the pants in the family? You or her? In other words, she's in control of this business, not you, which was true, but it was beneficial for him because, what? I loved him. I cared about him, right? So even if I was in control, even if I was the one that did everything because, he was being controlled behind the scenes and being told what not to do and to do that I didn't know about and I found out about later. And then there was a lot of resentment and hate from his mother that was being directed my way. And of course, he had, from being enmeshed with his mother since childhood, resentment and hate towards strong women. So here I come as a strong woman into his life in the beginning, from the very start, because I had my own career. But now I'm running the business and I'm pretty much the one who's running it. And if I'm not there, things don't go well. Like, I would go to work out because I needed a break during the day. I needed like an hour and a half to de-stress because I was still working at my career in the morning at a morning news show. So, and then I would come in and run the business all day. Like, I was exhausted. I was getting maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. It was horrible. But I did it because I was hoping there would be a time when I could tap out, right? I was going to hire people, tap out. But what ended up happening is he didn't want me to tap out. He wanted me to be there all the time because he was afraid to let anybody else come in and see that he wasn't running that business. I was. And once I would have to bring in a bunch of people, it would be obvious that when I left the business and I had to hire all these people to do what I was doing, it would, be obvious that I was the one who was, doing the most, right? So all of his friends, all the people in his life, well, I wouldn't say all of them, but many of them were like, she's the one running the business, and that if you lose her, the business is going to go with her, and blah, blah, blah. So they set up all this fear in him, even his family was worse at it. And then his family members started trying to push their way into the business because they wanted to be paid high salaries for doing, jobs that didn't deserve those salaries. They were trying, and I told him, no, no family, we're not hiring family. He hired one nephew, and I said, that's it, no more. No family. This is getting crazy because they were already The whole family was pushing for him to start making more money than he was really capable of making. He was not, you know, he was not at a level at of even other employees that we had at the time. That we should be paying them more, not him. And his experience was not at any level to be paid a certain salary, but the whole family kept pushing for him to become, actually to become a manager, to become more of an integral part of the business when, you know, he basically was lucky to have a job with us. You know, if he had gone somewhere else and was working, he wouldn't be making half what we were paying him. And his family just kept pushing and pushing for him to make more money. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens in an enmeshed family, in a meshed sick family like that, who has a mom. I mean, she basically was like a single mom because at a certain point, her husband just didn't work anymore and she was doing all the work. He's just an alcoholic his whole life, you know? Yet she stayed married to that jerk and he was abusive the whole time. So, yeah, it was a screwed up situation. But I can see now where this happened. How this happened. It happened in my own life and in my own relationship. You look back and you go, wow. And it's not just with him. I've seen it in other relationships, right? Because this is such a prevalent thing that happens nowadays in our society. It's been happening for hundreds and thousands of years, I'm sure. But, you know, like I said, even when it was accepted that marriage was supposed to be the thing, men would leave women behind. And this is the kind of dynamic that would play out. I mean, it is crazy. But yeah, I mean, I have looked at my partner and been like, why don't you just marry your mom and get it over with? This is really sick. I tapped out of that relationship. And by the way, when I left the business, they had to hire like 6 or 7 other people, plus an accountant firm, plus a lawyer firm to do what I was doing when I left. That's just how much I was doing and how hard I was working. And by the way, still working another job the whole time, getting maybe, you know, 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. And there were weekends sometimes I would sleep for 24 hours straight because I was so exhausted. I'd work Monday through Saturday, and Sunday I just would sleep the whole day because I was so exhausted. And I can tell you that if I hadn't been working out that whole time, if I hadn't, you know, he would come to my gym sometimes and tell me I had to leave because something was going wrong at the shop, at the business, and he couldn't handle it. An hour and a half. I couldn't even take an hour and a half at the gym, you know, because he wanted me to come in and take care of a problem at work because he didn't want to have to take care of it. So it's funny that they become the partners and they take care of everything for their mommies, but, you know, their mommies also take care of everything for them. So you become the replacement mommy almost to these kind of guys, and there are so many of them. You become this replacement mommy, and so when things go wrong and he doesn't want to take care of it, and it's not even that he couldn't take care of it, he could, but he just doesn't want to. Like I said, you know, he decided he didn't want to do the sales, he didn't want to go out and do and get the business that we needed to even have the business. I had to go do all that. I got us some huge accounts. Anyway, he couldn't even handle things during the day because he didn't want to. He looked at it as, you know, I think in the end he looked at it as, well, I was the one who suggested this. I was the one who started all this. I was the one that's just that we start this business. Even though I suggested it so that he could get what he wanted, you know, continually move up. But he would blame me for that. For the fact that he is now in this responsibility position, which is a position he wanted in the first place at the companies that he was working at, but because he didn't get it, because I suggested it, and because I made it happen, and I was the one who was running the business, he was resenting me for it. And so he came to my, he would come to the gym while I'm in the middle of a workout and tell me I had to leave. He did it like three or four times. He had me called over the intercom, and I'd come to the front desk, and he'd say, "You've got to leave right now. I've got a delivery, or I've got this, or I've got..." I'm like, go do it yourself. I'm in the middle of a workout, and I'm not stopping. But that is just how crazy it gets with a mama's boy. They start seeing you as like their mom, who should do every little thing for them. And that's where the domestic violence comes in, because you say no. And that also comes into them finding a strong person that they want to tear down. So, you know, that's the controlling part. He came in there expecting me to just drop everything and come running to do some simple task that he could do himself so that he could show or feel that he was in control over me. It's just insidious. Just insidious. I look back on all this and I think, oh my gosh, this is what was happening. When I watched those videos, I was just like, wow. Wow. And I can see the narcissistic mother who then creates the narcissistic male who she does everything for him. And then he looks for a woman who's going to do everything for him. And you feel like his mommy because you are. You are his mommy. You are replacing his mommy just like his mommy used him to replace her ex-husband or her partner who left her. It's a vicious cycle. And then the resentment that she had towards the man who left her, she took out on her son. And then the resentment, the son who you now are married to and or in a relationship with, that he has towards his mother, he is now taking out on you, the strong woman who he has found to tear down. Oh my gosh, I watched these videos and I was just like, this is, it's sick, but it also explains a lot of what happens in so many relationships nowadays in this society. And I see it repeat and repeat and repeat. I got out. I divorced and I've stayed away from this kind. And I could see other men who were interested in me who were the result of the same sort of insidious mama's boy, narcissistic mama's boy situation. And I could see it coming at me after that. I was just like, whoa, no, thank you. Yeah. And they are extremely attracted to strong women, which I am a strong woman. And I used to think it was just abusive men who like to tear down women. Because, you know, in counseling, in support groups, that's talked about. You know, when you're experiencing domestic violence or abuse, it's talked about how these men like to hook on to strong women who will take care of them. But then they resent a strong woman who's taking care of them and start abusing them, etc., and trying to take control, because then they feel out of control because they've chosen somebody that they want to be in control. They want to take care of them. They want to be, you know, have that control, but then they resent it, right? So I see this kind of people coming at me now, and I'm just like, never mind, we'll just be friends. And I've had a lot of these guys get really angry with me because they feel like I should want them. And those are the guys that ask you out and you say no to them and they get mad about it. Those are those guys. Those are the guys who have the narcissistic mother, this situation. Those are the guys who stalk you. After you've dated him a while and you say, you know, I'm out, I'm tapping out, I don't think this is going to work for me. They're the ones who stalk you when you leave them. And they actually talked about this in the video about how these kind of guys can't let go of you, even though they're playing out their resentments for their mom on you. they've been so enmeshed with their mother that now they are enmeshed with you. And they're so enmeshed with you that if you leave, they'll stalk you, they'll try and get you back, they'll beg you to come back, even though it's really unhealthy. And it's the truth. They will do that. They will come after you and try and get you to come back, which is sick because, you know, it's not working anyway. It's not a happy situation. And they're so, they can't see it. They can't see it in themselves. They can't look in the mirror and see what they're doing because it's just so much a part of who they are and how they've been brought up by their mothers. Oh, it's just so sick. But yeah, they will, you know, track you down, stalk you, try to keep you in their lives, even though it's not good for them. You know, these guys are the kind of guys that need to get psychiatrists' help. These guys are the kind of guys that need to be alone for long. And a lot of them stay alone because they just keep going through relationships, right? And then those relationships end. And those are usually the guys who are still not married, may have a couple kids, may not have any kids, you know, and they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, etc. Because mom is still alive and they're still enmeshed with their mother. And their mother is filling in those parts of their life that maybe a partner would fill in. Ugh, it's awful. It's sick. I'm going to look into this a little bit more to see if there's any other studies or any other points that could be made on this. But I highly recommend getting on and watching the videos. There's many of them about the enmeshment of narcissistic mothers that end up with narcissistic sons, who end up being abusers of women, really, of strong women particularly. And, you know, and what was their mother? Their mother was a strong woman. So it's just this insidious cycle that is happening in society over and over again that leaves us with these domestic violence, abusive men who end up, you know, sometimes killing their spouses, you know, and also maybe even their children. You know, it can go to that extreme. So if you're a mother who has a son and you've been left behind to raise him, be careful that you don't make him into this. Be careful that you don't. You know, if I'd had a son out of any of my relationships, would I have done that? You know, I mean, gosh, it's just crazy. But would I have realized it? That would have realized it was happening and stopped it. I think there are a lot of women out there who have stopped. There's a lot of men who have left behind partners who realize what they're doing and they have stepped up and, you know, been there for their sons, been there for their daughters, and helped their exes. So I can't say that this always happens. I think a lot of people do realize, wait a minute, I'm going to stop this cycle of abuse. This is all a part of the cycle of abuse. And I'm going to change the way that it comes out because this is messing up not only me, but this is messing up my children and my ex. And I'm going to be responsible enough to step up. Same with the women. They see what's happening and they stop being so meshed with their sons and try to find male figures in their lives that these sons can, you know, look up to, etc., etc. Maybe an uncle or whatever. All right, tell me what you think. And if I see any more points that could be made about this, I'll get back on. But wow, that was an eye-opener. Sometimes you just trip over stuff and you're just like, wow, I can't believe I saw this today. And you realize it's something that's happened in your own life or that's happening in society. And that's pretty much what this is. So let me know what you think. Amherst Eclectic. Text me questions, or, you know, if you've got an idea that you'd like to be on a podcast with me and discuss, that's something I'm open to as well. Till next time.